1269 to join the conversation.
Still out ghosting the road, death on the highway. Words crumble around me and fall with the weight of heaven. I can't.
Hello and welcome. It is now time for SDFO to VOIP. Please dial 929-299-1269 to join the conversation.
Welcome to the SDF conferencing system.
You are currently the only person in this conference.
VOIP 929-299-1269. VOIP 929-299-1269. VOIP 929-299-1269.
Hello Anon Radio listeners. This hour is brought to you by Ford Motor Company. Have you driven a Ford lately?
OPVOIP 929 299 1269.
There is currently one other participant in the conference.
Please hold. Your call is very important to us.
There is currently one other participant in the conference.
Hello. This is Jazzmaz. No, I guess I missed the other caller, who I believe was SMJ. Oh, well. This is Jazzmaz on SDF.
There are currently two other participants in the conference.
To us.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, there. Excellent. I've got three lines hooked up in three phones, and I was just going between them.
Okay.
Jazzmaz. And so, because now I have, of course, there's only, just like in a central office, you have a single interrupter.
Okay.
That is the heart of everything that provides your ringing, your dial tone. Well, not in this case. You don't have a ringing machine. I'm sorry. Ringing actually comes from the PSTN, all your, what do you call them, trunks.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the kind of the beauty of the PBX is that it can have an interrupter, but it doesn't need a ringing machine or any of that stuff, because although there is options to have local ringing, which is just, I've got one of those. It's basically just a transformer that's, God, what is it? What is it?
What is what? The transformer that...
What is the ringing frequency?
I don't remember what the frequency is. I think the voltage is, what is it, a negative 48 volt pulse or something like that?
I don't know if it's a pulse, but I know that ringing voltage is...
VOIP 929.
Isn't it alternating?
1269.
Yeah, I'm not sure. No, I think you're right. I think the negative 48 is the loop current.
That's just your battery.
Right, that's your loop current, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, there's like a little optional pocket in the shoebox for a transformer that if you hold it in your hand while it's plugged in, it's vibrating, basically.
Yeah.
So it's always kind of humming along at whatever.
Yeah, it's interesting how that stuff kind of worked. It's like I remember in high school we had these voltage stepper units, which were literally a motor and a generator.
Oh, right, yeah.
rather than just an AC transformer.
Yeah, a motor generator set.
Yeah.
I need to get a flathead screwdriver just a second.
Okay.
Oh, let's see. Please hold.
Please stand by. So SMJ is having fun now that he's got his, what is it, a 1A2 connected up to SDF Open VoIP, or I should say to the SDF Voice over IP system, and of course, an opportune time to play is during Open VoIP. Anyone that's interested in calling in, you can call with your regular phone service by dialing 929-299-1269. Or if you already have an SDF Voice over IP account, you can just dial extension 1088 to bring you straight into the conference bridge. And if you don't have an account but would like one, visit sdf.org and click on the tutorials link to find more information on the Voice over IP system at SDF.
Hello?
Hello.
Okay. Just trying to open up the box. I bought this from a kind of telephone genius. He's kind of a rural, one of the rural Bell System CO techs.
Okay.
I believe he's still working for, you know, CenturyLink Quest out here on the West Coast. But over time, he's collected so much gear. Yeah, and so he built me a little setup, you know, made to order, and it is piecemeal. I mean, I told him I don't care, and so that's why I have kind of the odd hodgepodge of phones, and
uh-huh.
I was looking at one. I was going to try to use it, but it's very noisy. It's got the tensile cord in the handset is just kind of sketchy. So, but
okay.
I opened it up to look at the receiver and transmitter in the handset, and even though it's a Western Electric phone, it has ITT parts in it, so that's how
nice.
Hodgepodge it is. But anyways, I've got the unit open now. The location where Yeah, there it is over there. Where the little ringing, vocal ringer, there's nothing installed. But here's a little interrupter I will let you listen to.
Okay, let me move into the other room. Because right now my air conditioner is making lots of racket.
I don't know if that's making that out on the conference bridge or not.
I can hear something. I don't know if that's you fondling the handset or if that is the sound of the interrupter.
It better be the sound of the interrupter. Hold on.
Yeah, I can hear it.
Okay. Yeah, so it has kind of like a little rhythmic thing because there's two rotating cams.
Okay.
And then there's arms. There's a series of seven arms that ride the cams. Actually, there's eight of them. And so the contacts are opening and closing as they rotate around there. And so the interrupter's purpose, of course, is to wink the lamps in all of the key phones.
Right.
when a call is on hold.
It also holds the line in the sense that it doesn't break loop current long enough for the PBX to detect to assume that you hung up the line, right?
Now, one thing that's I found that's interesting is even though this is a four-line system, Corey, is that I only have two of the lines hooked up, but I have three handsets on it, or three sets. And so if you, the first two lines, I can put the second line on hold. That's why the interrupter is going. And so that's what you're hearing is that second line winking away. But if I go to pick up a third line, I'll get a lamp, but because there's no dial tone, it won't hold the line. So you can't put that one on hold, and it'll drop it. So I thought that was interesting.
So the lamp actually completes the circuit for the interrupter? Is that what's going on?
I guess so, but for whatever reason, it's interesting that the push button gets cleared on the set. So I thought that was interesting, is if there's no dial tone, you can't put a line on hold. Or if there's no battery, I should say. Probably that's what the case is. I'm just looking at the, oh God. The power, it's got a power supply in it, a 28A1 power supply with those grasshopper style fuses. And then there's a spare. But there's it's got a somewhat large capacitor with a KS number on it, and I was just thinking that capacitor probably ought to be replaced.
Don't worry, it will decommission itself anytime now.
Yeah. I wonder, because of course the interrupter will go quiet.
Yeah.
If there's nothing on hold. In fact, let me try this if I don't hang up.
Welcome back.
Yes, I was able to clear that line, and now the interrupter has ceased.
Hello
but,
and welcome. It is now time
so,
for SDFO to VOIT. Please dial 929-299-1269 to join the conversation.
And then there's a 400H, which is a newer circuit pack with semiconductors on it. That's interesting, and that's Western Electric branded. But the 400s are the line cards. This other one I'm trying to figure out. Oh, whoa! I guess the D's are pretty old. They look to be 1960s. I'm not going to try pulling one out, but they are definitely a different kind of circuit pack, like with really large components and stuff like that. I I think that's kind of cool that he put all, you know, three different kinds in here, because then, you know, you get kind of
right, you
flavor.
Can kind of see across.
Yeah. I'm sure there's some purists that would complain, but...
Yeah, it's like, oh, you got ITT parts and AT&T stuff. Gross.
Yeah, it's like a set decorator that's okay, we're shooting this film in 1960, therefore everything has to be from 1960. Yeah, that kind of thing. But I want to get the music on hold circuit pack, and then that limits the number of lines, but then, of course, then you can do things like with the intercept drum
right.
and have answer back recordings or something, you know, some other feature.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. Oh, weird. There's scrawl inside of it. 1974, and then it says V-T. I guess somebody signed the inside of this thing when they did something with it. But, anywho, that's that. Because the cams are plastic in the
right.
interrupter, and then there's some plastic gears as well. I did buy another one just in case it goes bad. That's why I'm
sure.
Yeah, I guess yeah, it would have to operate. It probably does the interruption for ringing when you do station to station. That's probably what it is. That's the other purpose of the interrupter. All these phones have a fifth... Well, there's six buttons, but there's a fifth button, which is normally reserved for comm.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I mentioned that. Comm is just... It's basically a line with battery... That's local, that doesn't go out on the trunk.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can buzz another station.
Sure.
But I think what happens is you buzz all stations. You can't buzz a particular
station.
Selectively,
yeah.
But I think that, you know, of course you're limited to four incoming lines, but you can have as many stations as you can expand your little system out too, so you can, you know, everybody.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that would be like something you would have found in a doctor's office
or a school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it works for a certain number of staff, like an office of 25 is kind of the threshold, because beyond that, because you're running 24 pair.
Okay.
Cable to each frickin' phone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit chunky.
Yeah, so you got those big, chunky gray cables hosed everywhere. And then, I mean, that project my dad was on called the EKTS, which is the Electronic Key Telephone Project. And that made, that's where the Dimension system got made. But when you have electronic switching, then, you know, each station can be either 2-conductor or 4-conductor, depending on what you want to do.
Sure.
So, that's kind of interesting. I put a picture of my dad making the first call through the Dimension with one of the Western Electric, what do they call them? They have a special name. Oh, God, what was it? Oh, God, I can't remember what. I have to ask my dad what he called that.
Can you describe it?
Well, yeah, it's. Oh, I think they should call it like second level or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, but if you go look on the. Sorry, if you go look on. Maybe I'll post pictures later. There's a picture, apparently, I don't know if that's in the labs or if that was at Minnesota Bottling Company, or Twin Cities Bottling Company.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where the first implementation was. It was kind of like a field test.
Cool.
Yeah, you know where that. You know where Twin Cities is.
I do.
Yes. I sent a note to Publius, asked if he wanted to join to talk about decaying satellite orbits. I heard back from him about the book, but I haven't heard back from him about that.
Getting on the phone to talk about satellites and their various decaying orbits and zombie-like states and
yeah,
trash-like likenesses, expensive trash,
space junk.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. And I was going to do a reading. In Publius style, if I can. Preface. One of the comforting things about old memories is their tendency to take on a rosy glow. The memory fixes on what was good and what lasted, and on the joy of helping to create improvements that made life better. Dennis Ritchie, The Evolution of the Unix Time-Sharing System. That story is not 75 or 100 years old. Yes. Well, geez. I do have a fourth key telephone that's I don't know if it's an earlier one. In regards to, you can identify it by round buttons instead of square buttons.
Okay.
Lighted buttons, but it's it has round buttons, and it is six. But I was trying to get it to hook it up, and I pulled it out of the box, and then realized that it didn't have an Amphenol connector on the end. It just had spade connectors, so not gonna be able to hook that up.
Not easily, at least.
Not easily, no. No, can you? What, you've got your what, 25 pair Amphenol connector? Yeah, I mean, it doesn't use all of them. Some of them are meant to be redundant.
Sure.
Spares. But anyways, let's see, what am I on now? Oh, right. This is the one I already talked about, the Western Electric with the AT&T branding post-event. Post-divestiture. And then the other one, this one with the ITT handset, and then it's a Western Electric base, 2565 KMS. Bell system property not for sale. Oh, well, I buy it.
Well, eventually they were abandoning a lot of stuff anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, just, we were talking about,
It's like they never asked my mother back for her, for their,
yeah.
Western Electric 2500.
Yeah, oh, wow. Oh, the 25, the touch tone one? Okay.
The touch tone that she had for years and years and years and years,
mm-hmm.
until it finally stopped working, and,
yeah,
that phone was probably at least as old as I was.
Hmm.
Or pretty close, maybe even older. Because it would have probably been provided for her when they bought this building. I came later than that. Eventually they just abandon that stuff because it's like, yeah.
Right, there's no place for it to return to.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, even if you canceled your service, it's like, would someone come and get it? Probably not.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, that's how I got my 500. It was just, you know, surplus. What the heck was the name of the place in Toronto that doesn't exist anymore. I can't think of it. Yeah.
In Illinois, is it, it's kind of, it's all AT&T, right?
Pretty much so. I think for phone service, it's pretty, you know, for actual, you know, phone to your premises, it's AT&T. You might be able to get, you know, a voice over IP solution via Comcast or Wide Open West.
Okay. But if you want dial tone.
Right. If you want an actual copper pair, plain old telephone service, I think AT&T is the only game in town that's still doing that.
I think that was one thing that kind of blew my mind when I was there just a few years ago, is that there were these vans with the AT&T logo in there just going around. It's like, what?
Yeah, they're still around because, I mean, they're still doing U-verse installations at the very least and maintaining infrastructure, cabled infrastructure.
But it's a different AT&T, right? It's the Baby Bell.
Right.
Southwest
so
Bell,
it was originally
AT&T.
Illinois Bell, and then it became Ameritech.
Right, Ameritech. That's what.
And then it became. Was it SBC after that? It became part of SBC.
Well, that's what AT&T became.
Right.
Or what SBC.
Well, that was one of the major regional. Right. Right. Well, there were a couple others, I think, right? There were a couple other major sort of reconglomeration of Bell network telephone networks before the final, you know, Death Star rebirth.
Right.
Under the AT&T branding.
That's just a funny thing.
But I think SBC was the entity that continued to exist before they became AT&T once again.
Right. Ugh. Yeah, which is interesting that, from what I understand, SBC was one of the most successful ones, as well as Pacific Northwest Bell. They were pretty successful as far as revenue is concerned.
Sure.
Yeah, where's Publius?
He's probably getting ready to hunker down because I guess things are starting to get a little bad in Texas again.
For what?
Coronavirus.
Oh, okay.
But they're threatening the general populace with arrest, even though they can't really facilitate that for sort of being negligent. Like, okay, first of all, you know, you're not going to know if they have coronavirus until after the fact, and you're not going to know until you've traced it back to any particular person. So it's like, yeah, you're going to lock them in jail. Yeah, sure. You're more likely to encounter them in a hospital bed at that point. But yeah, I guess the infection rate's kind of going back up again. My brother decided to delay his trip, especially since Chicago also did the a new general order. Pretty much kind of the same, but the sort of conjugate of that it's like, if you're returning from one of the areas that has had an increase of coronavirus cases, you're supposed to, you know, self-quarantine yourself under penalty of fine and blah, blah, blah for 2 weeks.
God.
And I'm like, well, technically, the language of the order primarily targets returning residents. And I'm like, you could probably get away with it, and if you're doing stuff for work, you could probably get away with it due to being an essential worker. You know, if you it's like if he has to, you know, run some video equipment or something, so that the pointy-headed bosses can talk to their other pointy-headed bosses and their various minions. then, you know, that would be his technicality. But he's like, I'll wait another couple of weeks and see what happens.
VOIP 929-299-1269.
Oh, I guess here now the words was yesterday, not
right.
Today. Okay, but then there's another one. Actually, there. Sorry, UTC time, there's one today.
Right, you've got the repeat, right?
Is that the repeat? I thought he said he was going to do two different
kinds. He was talking about another show. Is that on the schedule now?
I don't know if he came to that decision. I think he was just kind of polling people.
Okay. But I thought you were also, was that, or maybe it was somebody else, but I thought that in the early AM, at least for us here in North America, I thought there was going to be like a rerun of Here Now the Words, kind of select. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's just Intergalactic Wasabi Mix.
There's Tobe, which is on the flip
Tobe.
Side.
Oh, Tobe. Okay, that's right. I'm misremembering multiply.
Selectively.
Selectively.
Have you read Brian Kernighan's A History of Unix?
I don't think I've read it. I think I've read excerpts from it.
It's obviously, that's what I was reading from. But I bought a copy of it just because I wanted to, you know, I like the, for something that, you know, something like this, it would be nice just to have a book to read rather than, you know, a PDF or whatever.
Sure, sure.
But unfortunately, it's Kindle Direct Publishing.
So it's a one-off, cheap, perfect bound book.
It is. It's crap. It's kind of. I mean, it's. Yeah, it's like even the glossy cover is just shit.
Yeah,
sorry.
I haven't had any direct dealings with direct-to-print stuff, so I don't know how good or bad any of that is. There was a guy who was doing manuals for TI-99/4A FB Forth. He still kind of plays with it, extends it, and he's got a printed book to accompany it if you so desire, and that. It's about the same quality as, like, say, a perfect bound, like some of my old game books and stuff like that. So it's not the cheapest binding you can get, but it's a low-cost binding.
Right.
It's not like you look at it wrong and the glue falls apart and the pages come out.
Yeah, I mean, it's holding together okay. It's just, you know, it's not an heirloom.
Yeah, yeah.
Not something you want to, you know, bequeath to anybody.
Right. It's like basically any other kind of tech book that you would buy that has, you know, just the paper, perfect binding, you know, basically pages glued into a cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff is fine, but yeah, it would be nice if you can get a hard bound.
It did say it's written on, or printed on, acid-free paper.
Well, it means it'll last a while.
It will, yeah. Camera-ready copy for this book was produced by the author in Times Roman.
It is now time for SDFO to VOIP. Please dial
929-1269
to join the conversation.
With somewhat of a tradition, I suppose. Yeah, but I guess made in the USA, Columbia, South Carolina.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
I would, just like the computer mouse, I'm sure we'll see.
Well, worst case scenario, if you really want a good book, you can always print and bind it yourself.
No, I'm not going to do that. Yes, I'm going to do cloth bound. Yeah, I'm going to, yes, on parchment.
Get your drafting vellum and...
Right.
Hey, you know, I've done worse. Well, my mom used to volunteer at the school library, and she used to rebind books.
Oh, wow. Is she one of those laminators that laminates the covers?
No. Well, actually, you know, those did exist, certainly.
That was a librarian thing to do.
There were books that had the plastic laminate cover.
Let them be a little more durable.
Yeah. You know, keep the kids snot off the book covers at the very least. let me think about that too. And I have a friend that was a librarian's assistant at one of the local universities, and she's the
VOIP 929
as well.
1269.
See, here's the thing with the cover is that it so all the stuff like the back stuff and then the picture and the title and everything and then the spine printing, it's all like it's bleeding. I mean, it's blurry. But then the printing for the ISBN and the UPC barcodes are, you know, very clear and distinct. And I'm just like, well,
two offset printing. One just monochromatic.
I don't know. Maybe somebody just didn't
do it right, or didn't recalibrate the machine.
Whatever, I don't know. I don't know anything, I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, I don't know that much of either. It's like I've got like a yearbook from high school that our print shop used to, you know, do their own yearbooks. They used to, you know, print and bind. And then the one that I have from 1 year, there's a number of color images that the offset printing was a little bit off.
Oh, right.
So they have, like, severely distorted psychedelic colors. But,
oh, well, that happened.
Oh, well, what do you get? What do you expect when you're using child labor?
Well, I was hoping to have a discussion about decaying satellite orbits, and I figured Publius would be the right person to know all the details. I mean, I'm sure that he knows. He knows all this stuff. And like,
he knows where to find the space junk.
Yeah, it keeps it all in his head.
Gotta keep it somewhere.
Yeah. He's like a human computer genius.
Yes.
Well, that was fun with the phone. I guess that's it.
Okay.
Here now, the words.
Here now, the words.
All right, I'm going to ring off, but maybe I'll be listening, and then if Publius jumps in last 15 minutes or whatever.
Sure, I'll probably just hang on the line. I'll just mute my mic and just continue to monitor for the last, 15 minutes? Maybe I'll pop on in the last couple of minutes if I remember and give the closing spiel.
Remind people. Yeah, you do a good job. You're like the open VoIP guy.
Kind of.
No, it's good. I mean, at least there's somebody there that can kind of...
Attention on radio listeners. Say, hey, coming up at 0300 hours UTC is a pandemic with open mic. Anyone can stream.
At the time that open VoIP is going on, and I remember to actually jump on the line.
Right. And normally I would be driving a car. But thank you, coronavirus.
Yeah. You've made my work life easier.
In a way... Maybe. All right. I'm ringing off.
Okay. Have a
ringing
good night.
Off. Good night. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. That was SMJ. This is Jazz Maz. This is SDF Open VOIP. Once again, you can call with your regular telephone service by dialing 929 1269. Or if you have an SDF voiceover IP account, you can just dial extension 1088. I'm going to probably mute my mic in just a second, and I will continue to listen in. If anyone happens to call in at the last moment, we'll pick up and say hello. So, muting now.
VOIP 929-299-1269.
Oh, sure you can do it tonight, Code Rain. It's just almost, you know, just a little over 10 minutes away until open mic, and you can give it a quick try. Okay, I'm going to mute again.
Attention on radio listeners, coming up at 0300 hours UTC is a PenMic with open mic, anyone can stream.
0-VOIP-929-299-1269.
Attention on radio listeners, coming up at 0300 hours UTC is a Penmic with open mic, anyone can stream.
I think the K shell is the default shell of SDF, but you can always go in and select another if you are a validated user, I believe. Or I should say the corn shell, or KSH. Oh well, this is Jazzmaz. We are coming up on the last couple minutes of OpenVOIP. OpenVOIP is SDF's voice over IP system on and on radio. can be heard every night from 0200 to 0300 hours UTC. Anyone can call. Anyone can talk about whatever they like. You can dial by call with your regular telephone service by calling 929-299-1269. Or if you have an SDF voice over IP account, you can just simply dial extension 1088. If you don't have a voice over IP account at SDF and you would like one, visit sdf.org and visit the tutorials link for further details about the voice over IP system at SDF. Other than that, coming up next is Open Mic. Open Mic is you, the listener's opportunity to try your hand at being the DJ. For more information, visit anonradio.net and click on the Open Mic link. Occasionally, you know, we will have a few impromptu people on Open Mic at night.